Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
You know what, I'm not surprised that we got a split decision here in these two opinions this afternoon, because we thought from the arguments last Friday that there was a real concern from a majority of the justices that what OSHA had done, the Department of Labor, going into private employers and workplaces and saying you have to do what the federal government has been admitting the Biden administration many times over the last few months, they don't have the power to do, essentially commandeer all of these private employers and say we can't do a federal mandate, but you guys are going to have to do it. It seemed like there was enough friction and resistance to that idea at the Supreme Court, who said, listen, why hasn't Congress stepped in and acted here? The executive branch cannot simply do this on its own.
Shannon Bream there of Fox with some of her immediate analysis of this decision yesterday, a split decision, I guess you'd call it, by the Supreme Court of the United States. Let me get to my guest right now. He is Giancarlo Canepero. He's a legal fellow down at Heritage, the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org. Giancarlo, welcome in.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, Shannon Bream's discussing the fact that it was sort of a split decision, but she wasn't surprised that it was a split decision. How about you?
You know what? I'm not surprised. I am a bit disappointed in the second. So as you know, in the first case, the court essentially struck down the OSHA mandate. And OSHA said, look, we regulate workplace safety. Let's sort of try to a creative workaround was the Biden's chief of staff's phrase, a workaround our limited authority to try to be a general public health agency. And the Supreme Court said, no, you don't have that power. Nice try, though. But you have never had the power to broadly regulate public health. The only thing you've ever done is limit hazards exclusive to the workplace, which, of course, the coronavirus is not. And, you know, like Shannon Bream said, you know, Congress had the opportunity to try to do this. It refused to. So why the executive agency tasked with workplace safety would suddenly magically find this power, nobody knows. But when we had the healthcare workers case, that was the Department of Health and Human Services said, hey, look, if you work for a hospital or any kind of health provider that gets Medicaid or Medicare funds, you need to be vaccinated. Now, you had the same problem in that case, where the statutory authority for HHS just wasn't there. But what tipped the scales is the court said, look, we have interpreted Congress's spending power pretty much to mean that they can impose any kind of, requirement on accepting funds that they want. So, you know, if you accept the money, you have to abide by their conditions. And they said the condition here is, you know, you get vaccinated, you get Medicare funds. The problem with that, from my perspective, is that when healthcare facilities decided to accept Medicare and Medicaid funds, they didn't know that the vaccination requirement was a requirement. It didn't exist. This was all done after the fact. It's like changing the terms of an agreement after you've made the agreement. And that was Justice Thomas in dissent made that point, which is, look, he said the statutory authority isn't there. You're changing the terms of the agreement after you've made it. So, you know, it wasn't surprising, but still disappointing for the second one.
Yes.
But the striking down of the OSHA mandate is a great win.
So when you mention it that way and describe the way they decided this healthcare worker mandate, you know, something popped into my head. I remember during the Trump administration, there were a couple of cities that had decided that they were going to become sanctuary cities for illegal aliens. And they weren't going to turn people over to ICE if they caught illegal aliens there. And the Trump administration, I believe the DOJ said, if you don't do that, we're going to withhold federal grant money that would have gone to your law enforcement agencies. And a court ruled you can't do that. The government doesn't have the authority to do that. Is that a different situation than these healthcare mandates?
You know, it's essentially the same situation, and just goes to show that, unfortunately, you know, decisions like that that are clearly within the same realm of spending, the same realm of spending power, sometimes yeah. get struck down because they don't fit the, you know, the political narrative of the day, which is, you know, very unfortunate because we need consistency more than anything else from the courts.
Right. Are you surprised that Kavanaugh was the sort of the swing vote here?
No, I'm not. Again, he's very much an institutionalist when it comes to things like the courts, the Congress's spending power. And you know, the decision is within the realm of reasonableness if you take for granted the court's history of broadly interpreting the spending power. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that enormous interpretation of Congress's spending power is wrong, but I can see how this was not really a great case to go reversing it. So I can see why he went that way. My hope is that in the future, when they're presented with a better case to really attack the spend, this broad application of the spending power, that they'll take that opportunity.
Yeah. Giancarlo Canaparo, our guest right now, legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. So now the question becomes, there are challenges to emergency declarations and other things handed down at the state level. Is it likely that this Supreme Court decision, either of them, will have any impact on those pending challenges at the state level?
It's unlikely because the question in this case was one, in the OSHA case, was one of the statutory authority that Congress gave an executive agency. But when you're talking about states, you're going to have a different source of authority. States, for instance, have what lawyers call the police power, which just means sort of a general power to do and to protect the citizens and to look out for public health. Congress doesn't have that power because its powers are limited to only what's written in the Constitution. And so, you know, executive agencies, which have delegated authority from Congress, don't have that power. But states have a lot more power. So you're going to get into questions of just what is the nature of state power. If a state has delegated to one of its executive agencies some power, is that delegation done properly? And then whether states are adequately protecting other constitutional rights, like your freedom to have a religious accommodation.
Well, you know, speaking of which, I know that you recently wrote an article that was posted at Heritage regarding this administration keeping a list of people who seek and are granted religious vaccine exceptions. Why in the world would they be doing that?
Yeah, so what we've seen over the last few weeks now, when I wrote the article, it was one little tiny agency here in D.C. announced that it would be collecting all of the private religious information and name and all sorts of other information about any of its employees that file a religious accommodation from the vaccine. So okay. All of your private religious information is going to be stored for some reason and for some use, but they don't explain what. Now the entire federal government is doing it. So we're looking at 3 million Americans who work in some capacity for the federal government who will have their private religious information stored and put on some list that the government will do who knows what with. And, you know, we're really concerned about this because the federal government doesn't need this information, right? We've had religious accommodations for all sorts of things in the past that the federal government has been able to deal with,
right.
Grant, deny, whatever, without storing this information. Now, the Biden administration is storing all this information about any religious objectors, and what it's going to do with them and why it needs it, we don't know. But it looks like just another and a growing list of ways in which the administration is subjecting religious Americans to differential treatment.
Wow. Well, thank you for, unveiling that and informing us of it. People can go to heritage.org and read more about that religious vaccine list that they're putting together, that religious vaccine objector list, I should say, that they're putting together. Listen, Giancarlo, thank you for your time this morning.
My pleasure.
Yes, sir. Giancarlo Canapero, he is a legal expert with the Heritage Foundation, and wanted to get his two cents on what happened at the Supreme Court yesterday. Certainly a partial victory, but unfortunately our first-line responders are still going to be subjected to these mandates.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.